You want a heroine, someone to root for, to identify with. She can't be perfect, though, because that'll just make you feel bad about yourself. A flawed heroine, then. Someone who may break the rules to protect her family, but doesn't kill anyone unless it's self-defense. Not murder, though, at least not the cold-blooded kind. That's the first deal-breaker. The second is cheating. Men can get away with that and still be the hero, but a cheating wife is unforgivable. Which means I can't be your heroine. I still have a story to tell. It begins in a car, rather an SUV. We sit according to our rank, the oldest in the driver's seat. That's Eddie. His wife sits next to him, but I'll get to her. The middle seat is for the middle child, and that's me. Beth. Not Elizabeth, just Beth. I'm 2 years younger than Eddie, and he never lets me forget it. I'm okay to look at, though not as young or thin as I used to be. My husband sits next to me. Again, later for that, because our spouses weren't supposed to be here. One seat left, way in the back, and that's Portia. The surprise baby. She's 6 years younger than me, and sometimes it feels like 100. With no spouse or significant other, she has the whole seat to herself. In the very back, our luggage, stacked side by side in a neat single row because that's the only way it fits. I told Eddie that the first time. Our handbags and computer bags go on top of the roller bags. You don't have to be a flight attendant to figure that out. Under the bags, there's the trunk compartment. One side has the spare tire. In the other, a locked wooden box with brass fittings. This special little box in this special little place, all by itself with nothing else around, is to hold our grandfather. He's been cremated. We aren't talking about him. We aren't really talking at all. The sun beams through the windows, landing on my leg and making it burn. The AC dries out my eyes. Eddie plays music that is wordless and jazzy. I look back at Portia. Her eyes are closed and she has headphones on, probably listening to music that is neither wordless nor jazzy. Her black hair is long and has fallen over one eye. It's dyed. We all have pale skin, and we were all born with blonde hair and either blue or green eyes. My hair is even lighter now because I highlight it. Eddie's is darker because he doesn't. Portia's hair has been black for a while now. It matches her nails. She's not goth, though. Not anymore. The music change is abrupt. I didn't even see Krista move. That's Eddie's wife. Krista, the one with olive skin, dark hair, and brown eyes with gold flecks. Krista, the one he married 4 months after meeting her. She used to be the receptionist at his office. Pop music blares out of the speakers, a dance song from 5 years ago. It was bad then, too. "The jazz was putting me to sleep," Krista says. My husband's eyes flick up from his laptop. He probably didn't notice the change in music, but he heard Krista's voice. Maybe she's the heroine.
"It's fine," Eddie says.
I can hear the smile on his face. I continue to stare out the window. Atlanta is long gone. We aren't even in Georgia. This is northern Alabama, past Birmingham, where the population is sparse and skeptical. If we were trying to rush, we'd be farther along by now. Rushing isn't part of the equation.
"Food?"
That's Portia, her voice groggy from her nap. She's sitting up, headphones off, wide-eyed like a child. She's been milking that baby of the family shit for a long time.
"You want to stop?"
Eddie says, turning down the music.
"Let's stop,"
Krista says. My husband shrugs. "Yes," Portia says. Eddie looks at me in the rearview mirror, like I get a say in the matter. I'm already outnumbered.
"Great," I say. "Food is great."
We stop at a place called the Roundabout, which looks just as you imagine. Rustic in a fake way, with the lasso and goat on the sign, but naturally run down with age. Authentic, but not, like most of us.